Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We're positively into the springtime month around here in March Madness and all the good stuff that comes along with it, and basketball. And if you have tuned in here this week, you have heard MEAC tournament action. Hopefully the ladies are going to play a little longer this weekend as we get together around here. And our partnership with Coppin State, I have pressed Dr. Jenkins. I did this during a holiday party as well that I attended downtown with all sorts of cool people who are Eagles about getting more people on and more information and more professors. And I knew they had doctors hiding over there at Coppin State that I could bring on. As part of our spring series, and I want to give everybody a shout out over at Coppin, where I couldn't even park a couple of weeks ago for the homecoming before I had Hall of Famer, my longtime pal Gary Williams, on last week. I have just met Dr. Dionne Kerbeam. She is the chief information, which I always need to get more information. She's the chief information and technology person and the vice president over at Coppin State. I have been told she will be effusive with fun and information and passwords and privacy and security, which always sort of freak me out in a Google, Apple, iPhone kind of world. They're trying to set up Apple Pay. Is it safe, as they once said in a movie? Welcome, Dr. Kerbeam. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I feel like every time I have a Coppin person on, not Ruffin, but all the rest, I sit up straight and I try to learn things and I try to be taught things and all that.
Wow. Well,
Yeah,
let
I
me sit
would.
up straight. Let me sit up straight so I could be who I'm supposed to be as Dr. Kirby today.
You told me you're chief nerd over at Coppin on your own terms. And I would just say I'm 56 years old. I think you're a little younger than me based on the math. But there is a point for any of us who are over the age of like 30, 35, wherever that Gen Y, Z, X thing is, for all of us that I didn't grow up with this thing. But man, I had a kid who was a little younger than me that when that little envelope showed up on my first flip phone, and I said, "What is that envelope? It looks like a letter." And I don't speak emoji well. I don't do well in
I
emoji
get it,
world.
because we're digital immigrants. We were not born into this. Your children are considered digital natives. They were actually born after a certain time that they probably came out with a cell phone in their hand. And as soon as the doctor smacked their bottom, they probably texted somebody and said, "What is this man doing?" Where most of us were digital immigrants. We remember things such as the rotary dial, dare I say, the 8-track player, actually being a human remote. So the perception of how we engage in technology is very different between those two generations. So I'm considered an immigrant because I remember having a typewriter prior to me going over to a computer.
God, can I tell you a story just to educate people here? All
Please,
right. So I am missing a finger. Okay. So I had a lawnmower accident here. You went to school for journalism because I've looked you up on LinkedIn. And
you've done your homework.
I have been a journalist for all my life since I was 15 years old at the News American. When I was 13 years old in high school, 10th grade, a man named Alex Polonis was the typewriting teacher. So when I went to go to school, and Don Moeller's a big part of this, former Baltimore County executive, met me. He was my guidance counselor at Dundalk High School. And all I wanted to do was be Richie Cunningham. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be a sports writer. I wanted to be Oscar Madison. And I knew that I needed to learn how to type. And typewriting as a kid was, there was one person in the neighborhood that had a little typewriter, and you had a ribbon, and it had, we didn't even have white out. We had white ribbon. I'm talking like in the 70s, right? I went to class, and I swear on my life, this is true. We had typewriters in Dundalk High School right down in the hallway by the breezeway, and the typewriter had one of these on it, and I'm missing a finger, and I was doing the Christopher Columbus, like looking at the T and looking at the, because I
As they
can't hit
say, chicken pecking,
the
the
Y
chicken
or the
pecking.
chicken pecking, right? Mr. Polonis came and took a white sheet of paper and he taped it down over the top of the keyboard. And I'm being honest with you, you're gonna laugh, but it's a serious thing. I put my hand under the nerve ending in this would not allow me to hit that without a lot of pain, right? So I literally got up. I didn't cry because I was 13 or 14. I just said, "Mr. Polonis, I have to go to the office." And I went down to the office and said, "I'm transferring. I cannot learn to type like this." And then I got a job at the News American, and it had soft keys.
Ah,
And I learned
thank
soft
you.
keys. I'm probably 70 or 80 words a minute, probably. I could
That's
run an
good.
office typing for over the last 43 years, but it was the single barrier to, if I did not learn to do this, if I had quit for life, I
Wow.
don't know where I'd be in life if I didn't learn how to type,
Well,
right?
exactly. But you know, when I took typing, I started taking typing in middle school, and I remember it was literally the bane of my existence. I hated typing class. That was the worst class ever. And my mother was a secretary at the time at, I believe, Johns Hopkins Hospital. So she was an expert typer. So she was like, "Well, Dion, you have to learn how to type." But what I find interesting now is that typing is this with the two thumbs that they're now learning how to be efficient with your typing, because now people are doing things on keyboards, but on your keypad on your phone. But also, what's interesting for accessibility purposes, we now have the natural voice recognition. So even instead of typing, we can now do dictation. So be it on your phone, be it on Microsoft Word, wherever, you push the dictation button and it will dictate everything. So another way of technology is changing. We don't have to learn how to type anymore. Typing is a lost art.
I feel like I need to be Thornton Mellon. I need to go back to school. I just need to learn
Oh
some
my
things.
God.
And then, but really, in the that was, I mean, I'm going back to the 80s and typing. And kids
Yes.
would say, "What do you mean? I don't know how to type." And typing, I came out with a keyboard. To your point, digital
Yes.
natives or not, people a little younger didn't have an email address or didn't learn how to
Right.
text, or then took on whatever Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, wherever you are in the digital space. But now we have young people coming to you. Some of them, COVID babies and different people that
Yes.
had got trapped in their homes and Wi-Fi. It can be really, really overwhelming, I think, even to
It
me,
can.
in regard to passwords, in regard to security. I mean, I have a web company at Baltimore Positive. My web developer, my Dion, my Dr. Kerr Beam on my side,
Oh,
Jessica Vallis, hit me. She said, "You need two password bit bit bit." I'm like, "I
yes.
don't want that on WordPress. You have to have that. I have a Google Authenticator." I watch my wife, who's a Verizon engineer, fight with this at 8:04 every morning to try to log again. Like, it is a, and now we bring the Russians and the Chinese into this. It is, it's scary to think you're going to lose
It
data. It
is. But you
is.
know, it is. But you know, people in my role and the person in your role at Be More Positive, our job is to make sure that we keep you safe. And sometimes it might seem like an inconvenience when we do multi-factor authentication, meaning that you have to go to your phone and things of that nature. But we have these bad character actors that are super smart, that are always trying to find ways to outsmart us. I had a situation that I enjoy shopping. That's one of my vices. And somehow they were able to buy gift cards on my Macy's account at 3 o'clock in the morning. Fortunately, I have my account set up that I had an alert that if something happens and so forth, and they knew my buying patterns, so they knew that something was amiss. So they were able to easily reverse those gift cards, and they alerted me. I had to change my password. Word and things of that nature. So our data and our privacy is of the utmost importance. That's why it's important that we always change our passwords regularly. Usually it's 90 days, maybe it's every 6 months. Even doing pillow talk, don't share your passwords because you never know how it's going to accidentally leak out. Never write your password down. I've seen people, I've gone in offices and their password is on a sticky note and it say whatever. And then make sure that your password has a combination of complexity, that never use, oh, you know, the name of your dog, Snoopy or Zoom or 12345, but something that can be a little bit difficult to guess. Now we're moving into the sphere of biometrics, which you're an app head, you love Apple. So, you know, we can just look at our phone and the biometrics, they scan us and they actually read our biometric eyes. So, they actually are now unlocking our devices. Our thumbprint or our fingerprint is also another unique way, but our character actors are getting smarter. So, we always have to make sure we do our due diligence to stay safe because, trust me, it's never fun. And thank God I've never had this happen to me, but I know people who have to wake up in the morning and your bank account says zero. era, or somebody has put a mortgage out in your name and you never have created this mortgage, or they've created credit cards in your name, because that's what happens if people can get even a sliver of your PII, your personal identifying information, and they can make a story about you. And once they make that, they can grab hold and essentially take over your life. I don't want it to sound scary and like we need to go under our desk and hide, but we need to make sure that we are proactive, that we're having our passwords, we're doing multi-factor authenticator, and we are protecting our data as possible, as much as possible.
Oh, I needed this today. I really did. Dr. Dionne Kerbeam is here. She is with Coppin State. She is giving us a little bit of wisdom. She runs things around there on the information technology. So I need you to explain to me on campus. You just gave a great advice, I think, for anybody, kids coming on campus. Are younger people more gullible, less gullible, more, think, well, I don't have a lot, they don't have a lot to steal from me, but or have they grown up in this world where weird passwords and remembering them? Things for me, like, I literally have the list of these passwords and stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, if I had 50 of them in my life and I have to change all of them every 90 days, and you want all of them to be different, and the gobbledygook passwords that they make for you with all sorts of things are completely impossible to remember when you're at a
Sure.
concert on Ticketmaster and your phone's out and you're trying to get in, like things that really, any of this could affect you in and above just losing your phone or not having enough battery or just silly things like that, but just things in my phone with all of these different
Absolutely.
passwords and these chains that remember the passwords. I don't trust any of it. Like, I'm a great guy for you because you'll be like, do you do this? Nope, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that.
It.
Because,
Please do it.
but yeah, I mean, because I am very weary of it just walking into all of that. I don't do Apple Pay, any of that kind of stuff. I pay with a credit
Same
card, I pay
thing.
with cash. There's two ways I pay. You know what I mean? There's a couple of little things I do. I would just say maybe good life advice as I get older and the gray comes out is keep it small. Yeah, just less is
Simple.
more in a lot of ways. A lot of things on Facebook, I
Absolutely.
don't get involved. I haven't been hacked or any of that stuff because I don't
Good.
play in those third party. I don't play chain
Absolutely.
games and all of those kinds of things. But I'm weary.
I
You
get
scare
it.
me, but I'm already scared, you know?
Scared. I know. And sometimes being in this seat, it almost makes me slightly anxious because I see what happens. So I am very, very cautious to follow the things that I say. But also, to your point about the next generation, I wouldn't necessarily say that they are more gullible. I would say maybe they aren't yet as aware. I think there are two pathways. There's the pathways of the younger people that just aren't aware. They're always on TikTok, always on social media, posting their location, sharing their location. They are more willing to negate some of their privacy functions in order for convenience. For an example,
And that also exposes their security, though.
bingo.
Weighing the,
Weighing, you have to
is
weigh
this
the
a good
risk.
decision or a bad decision, period, right?
Absolutely. I mean, do you want to always share your location on all these sites? Why do they need it? What is the value? How is it going to help you? If they don't need to know your location, then don't share it. If they don't need to have access to your full picture roster, then why have access to it? If they don't, the less they can have on your data, the better and the more private you can become, and you become more secure. Then we
And some
have.
kids say, I want to be famous, because I was a kid who wanted to be famous, right?
Be famous, I think maybe. And then there are some whose parents have oversaturated their digital footprint. They're posting every picture of them on Facebook, or my child did this, or my child did that. And now they're kind of in that young adult years, and they're like, okay, I've grown up with everybody knowing who I am. I don't know these people because my parents have literally posted my picture since birth. I want to take a step back from social media. I want to take a step back from some of this, and I want to reduce my digital footprint. So we have both of those pathways, and we're starting to see more of the emergence of the younger people who have been oversaturated, having been grown up with their parents posting everything of their first step to their graduation from high school and everything in between on social media. Can you imagine? And you're a public figure, so it's different for you, but can you imagine just being a kid and someone's like, "Oh wow, I know you, you're so and so's child because and you did this with
Well, I have a
softball."
son, and
Yeah.
it speaks to this is my son grew up running around doing radio with me in the 90s,
Yeah.
and he has pulled himself completely off of social media. I would say since the first time Trump was around, maybe the last
Yeah.
7 or 8 years, he literally exited all of it, literally lives very happily and quietly. And people ask me every day, is your son okay? Yeah, my son just like doesn't really dig me even posting. We haven't never even had that conversation, to be honest with you. He's 41 years old. I just don't put a whole lot of pictures of him up. Maybe I make fun of him, poke him on his birthday or something like that.
Of course,
But like in
you
a
had to.
general sense, maybe if we're like twice a year, we'll take a picture when we're out together and I'll put it up to let people know he's alive and still sometimes his hair is pink, sometimes it's green, blue. People ask those questions. But like he just doesn't want to be involved. And I'm like, good for you. Good
Yeah,
for you know,
and we're
like
seeing a lot of people in that demographic and a little bit younger who are just oversaturated, and they're just like, enough is enough. I want to re retreat from social media. I want to live authentically in real life. I don't need to justify and broadcast my entire life on social media, but they're living happy lives. And sometimes I think that we have this crutch of social media, thinking that for most people, that is the authentic world. And then a lot of people have this comparison effect to say, oh, everybody's traveling to Jamaica, going to Dubai. They're living their best life. Well, here I am. All I get to go to is Cherry Hill or the Hunt Valley. That's all I get to do. And so my life is not as good as these other people doing these great things on social media. So it's also causing a lot of different mental health challenges because they're comparing themselves to what they think is the reality. Or the high standard of life, the high standard of beauty, the high standard of how I am supposed to live. And some people feel that if I'm not meeting what the social media metric is, then my life is subpar. And that's not the case. We have to understand that technology is technology. And sometimes what we see on things like social media is not always reality. And sometimes doing that detox and not always being engulfed in social media can help our wellness, help our balance, and help us discover our true authentic selves.
not to mention our posture.
Yes.
This thing here with the neck.
Oh my gosh.
My wife
Oh
yelled at
my
me this
gosh.
morning. I said to her, it's screwing my shoulder up to be on my phone in bed because of my neck and my angle and where I need to be after being here, doing,
Yes.
as you pointed out, the Truman Show that I do here each and every day.
Absolutely.
Dr. Dionne Kerr-Beam is here. She's with our partners at Coppin State, and it's just a pleasure to have her on. We're kind of having some coffee chat talk here about really important stuff. She's the Vice President of Information Technology and Chief Information Officer. I just want to ask you this because you're, yeah, young old timer, sort of like me. I've looked at your LinkedIn and Bowie State and your background. How much of this did you see coming over the last 2 decades? Even as a self-proclaimed nerd in this space, you went to school for this. I don't even know if you knew what you were going to school for when you went to school
I did
for it,
not.
because the same things like I started typing on that typewriter in 1984, not in any way thinking there would be this Jetsons thing that, I mean, I
Ever.
saw a picture of a card catalog in the Dewey Decimal System. And we used to say, this is the old, this is why I used to Google things. We went to the library and pulled out these cards,
That
right? I mean, these kids will never know that, but it really is
is.
an amazing world we live in to
Absolutely.
live this long, to have this level of technology that is ultra convenient. If I want to go to New York today and find the best bagel and or anywhere in the world, and I mean, I have been a first I was a map nerd as a kid, like Rand
Ah,
McNally, and I wanted to go to stadiums
you were an
around the world.
early adopt. You were an innovator
Well,
or an early
I
adopter.
would just say, having employees of mine who were grown-ass adults who didn't know north from south, from east from west, and I'm like, because they've had Google Maps, like they just know, they know they put it in and the thing takes them there. Now the cars are going to do that, right? And I'm like,
Absolutely.
my goodness, if I didn't know the sun. I had a young lady on the street of Manhattan. This was a young lady, like a college young lady, in her
Yeah.
20s, old enough to have a beverage, say to me, Is the park east or west during a sunset off a subway? And I looked at the sun and it was 5 in the afternoon. I said, well, the sun is setting over there. She didn't know if it
Right.
was east or west. And I said,
Wow.
wow. So I'm just saying the conveniences of Google Maps alone, just in something that younger people have never had to really think, is that way Dundalk and that way Woodlawn, or is that way Bowie and that way Coppin? And just
Absolutely.
sort of knowing
It's
all of
the
that, it's
small
made life
things.
easier, but it's also made for people our age to have come at all of this having had a Dewey Decimal System and a card catalog to try
And the
to figure
card
things out.
catalog. And you know, it's interesting because as technology continues to advance, we will always change in the way of our cognition and the way of how things are done, the way how we do things. We lose something every generation as technology advances. For an example, when we were growing up, and I'm a graduate of Poly, so we remember those T1 calculators that we had to use, and you probably had one in high school with the calculators. But the generation before us was so upset because, like, oh my God, I can't believe they're using calculators. We did all these equations and calculations by hand,
My
but
dad saw the first calculator at
yes.
Luskin's in the 70s, and he said, this is going to, no, we need to teach you division and
Right.
things.
Exactly. And if you even remember when the onset of television and they said, oh my God, here comes television. There were even stories to say, okay, this is the devil's box of being able to inundate our individuals, that people are not going to have family time. People want to sit around the TV. So it seems that every time there's a new innovation, there's always that something that is lost about the way how things are done the old way. And we conform to a new ideology and style of doing things. We're seeing that now with generative AI, things such as ChatGPT, Claude, that, and I remember that people used to write. My running joke at work was I was the minister of communications because I was always particular leaning on my journalism background of things had to be written in a certain way and presented in a certain way. Now, an individual can go right into something like a ChatGPT or a Copilot and have a whole story or an article written for them in a matter of seconds, whereas it used to be hours. So when we think about these things and how our innovations change, I think we have to have some ground rules that one, whatever it is, we can't do harm to people. We have to make sure that we're using it in a more efficient way, something that does not allow for bias, that it always support inclusivity, that we're not excluding people, and to make sure that we have equitable access across the board. You know, even if you think back, going back to television, something that, you know, now is just a commonplace. It's, you know, we don't even think about it anymore. That where's the standard of ethics? Are we doing harm with it? How are we doing good? How are we helping the human condition? So as we continue to evolve with newer technological innovations, we need to keep those foundational things in mind because the way how we do things will change, but our ethics, our integrity, and ensuring inclusivity, those things are something that should never change.
Well, you mentioned something, and I just, I think about Cliff Notes and I think about term
Oh my
papers.
God, I
Remember,
remember those.
like you could buy a term paper somehow on the black market. Just
Yes.
say, now, then the internet came, and then,
Yes.
and you know, what is plagiarism? You're a journalist, I'm a journalist,
Yes,
is it borrowed?
yes.
Is it stolen? Is it quoted? Is it copyrighted? Is it
Yeah.
ethical? Is it true? Let's start with, is it
Exactly.
true? Well, I working at the Baltimore Sun in the 1980s, I have written that I had like editors around me. I had automatic BS detectors everywhere, grown-ups everywhere, fact check. I had fact checkers,
Yes.
when I wrote
Yes.
for the paper in the 80s, and it's made me a different human, especially in Trumplandia, in the modern of
Yes.
what is a fact and what is true and what are you just making up and where did you hear that? In the game of what we would call phone booth, AI. Wow, man. We went from Mr. Polonis and typewriters to AI. And
Yes,
AI,
yes.
yeah, I'm going to invite you back, Dr. Kirby. I like you. So we're going to have you back
Anytime.
from Coppin State.
I'll come
We should do an hour on AI one day, but
anytime. Oh, we really could.
teach me a little bit. And I will just say this piece we're doing right now for anybody at Koppen who's enjoyed this or anybody in my radio audience. We used to do these things live on radio one time, they go away. Then we learned how to tape them, the
Yes.
8-track players, and we could play them back on the weekends. Now, this will be, when I'm done with this, it'll be a video, it'll be an audio, it'll be a podcast, it'll be a blog post. It will be within 30 seconds on Otter AI. It will be transcribed.
Yes.
And all of my former accent that comes out when I do funny voices like this, it says speaker one because it doesn't recognize me anymore.
Oh, I
So
love that.
yeah, I can, and I see all of this in the last 2, 3 years. I've done Otter AI, but it was my vision 15 years ago when like Dragon was out
Yes,
on
yes.
software, just to try to take the words we had on radio and make it written word. We have
Absolutely.
surpassed anything I would have dreamed of as a 40-year-old, and I'm 56, let alone cars driving themselves and all that.
Oh my
But this
goodness.
AI part of this is a fundamental, foundational game changer. It's going to
Oh
change the
my
way we
God.
think about life in the
It's going
next
to
10 years.
change the way how we think about life. It's going to change business. It's going to change every aspect of how we do things. You just mentioned Otter AI, which is one of the note takers, and there are so many. There's Read AI, Otter, Copilot, and they're coming more and more on the scene every day. Imagine the actual piece of it when you had secretaries that would do dictation and they have to do note taking that would sometimes take a day if they were transcribing meetings. Now they can have it done in an hour. So, in looking at this from a larger scale, that makes us think, how do we train the next generation of individuals to be part of an AI world? One of the things I always say, and I heard someone say this, a lot of times we do educational malpractice, that we are preparing our students for a world that no longer exists, that we're training them in things such as the calculator or the typewriter, but now we're actually on AI. So what skills do we need to start teaching and training? One of them you mentioned is about fact-checking, because sometimes something may come out of AI, but it may not always be correct. So understanding how to do that fact-checking, understand what we call prompt engineering, which is now a brand new career of understanding how to craft the right prompts to get the right information out of a large language model or an AI program, and being able to reciprocate that information so that if they need to go back and forth, that you get the right answers that you need. And also, it's important to have the context of what you're doing. Let's say that if I ask an AI product to say, I need a chemical compound, and they tell me to mix bleach and ammonia together, and I don't know anything about it, and let me go to the store, let me get my bleach, let me get my ammonia, I mix it together, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes some smoke. Well, AI told me to do this. Well, this is where you need that contextual knowledge of science to know that you can't compoundly mix those two chemicals together because it's dangerous. So there needs to be some contextual knowledge of understanding what's coming out to be able to properly understand that what they're giving me is accurate. So we could have a long conversation about this. And one thing that's really important is that the job world is going to change. Going back to the Otter AI, people such as secretaries and receptionists, they may no longer be needed as much to do dictation and transcription. So how are we going to train that workforce so they can still be viable? They can still have jobs, and they can still be part of what's coming down with this new technology. Does that mean having AI boot camps? Does it mean showing them how they can use that to make their work more efficient? And then also preparing them so as the workforce changes, how they can be part of that next level revolution so they won't lose jobs and they can still be attractive to the business workforce.
Dr. Dionne Kerbeam is making her first but not last appearance here on Baltimore Positive. She is the Vice President of Information Technology and Chief Information Officer. I promise to try to shorten that. I'm going to have to talk to Dr. That's just too much for me to say. But I would say this, AI boot camp, you said to me. Oh, hold on. Red light
Yes.
went off. Now, on our
An
next
AI.
episode, we're going to have an AI boot. Well, I just, I, it, it's. I'm getting old enough to see that how all of the technology has come along from I don't know how to type to I need
Yes.
this thing to get into anything I want to do or go anywhere I want to go, that I had
Yes.
to master the settings on this device, let alone speak English, know English, be able to type, be able to interact, be able to
Yes.
communicate. And this is not my wallet in a lot of ways, but it's become an appendage for every human being in this culture at this point. Even my kid who's not on social media needs this in order to get most
Absolutely.
things done, right? So
Absolutely.
it becomes a learning curve of, I remember I met a billionaire once who said he didn't want one of these because he didn't know how to type. Well, he had to learn how to do that or learn how to talk into it to get typing to be
Absolutely.
able to do anything with anybody. And that's in the last 10 years. This AI
Absolutely.
thing, it's a wide spectrum of people afraid of it, don't think about it, don't see how it's going to affect their jobs or their culture or their life around them,
Absolutely.
to other people like you that have been a sponge for learning and technology over 2.5 decades to come along to help people like me and teach people like me. But the AI thing, I just, it would be like that silly piece of, who is it, Bryant Gumbel sitting on the couch with maybe Katie Kirk saying, there's this thing called the internet. We need to learn
Internet,
about this. Like, right.
yes.
Like, I mean, nobody wanted to learn about that,
Oh
GeoCities and
my
what's this and
goodness.
whatever. But the world had to learn about it.
We
And your
had to learn
grandmother
it.
died knowing about it because she had to know about it. I feel like AI is one of those
It is.
really
AI
fundamental
is the,
things that everybody's
I,
got to
it,
learn.
you are absolutely correct. What we're seeing, and even the way how people are scrambling to learn AI, to understand AI, is what we saw about what is this internet thing? And that, like, well, how do we do it? What are the policies? What are procedures? How do we protect people? And now the internet is just commonplace in our naming convention. So AI is that next thing. You know, right now we're at that point that there's flurry, there's confusion. We still don't understand it. Some people think it's going to be the breakthrough and the magic bullet for so many things, but we ultimately, it's not going to go anywhere. We have to embrace it. We must learn it, and we must be able to still have some safeguards around it, because going back to that data privacy thing that we talked about, you know, sometimes we put things into these large language models, and unless we have our settings configured to a certain way, our information goes into those large language models and it helps to train the artificial intelligence bot. So we also have to think about, gee, do I really want my social security number going into this? Or gee, do I really want my address going into these things? So that goes back to kind of where we started of understanding and leading with data and privacy as we move further into these large language models and AI.
All right. She is here to make sure you are careful with all of these
Yes.
things and security and passwords. We will have Dr. Dionne Kerbeam back as part of our ongoing partnership with Coppin State and the Mighty Eagles. And you'll hear some MEAC basketball here this week as well. As
Go
we
Coppin.
call them intelligent conversations. It has been exciting around. What do you love about Coppin before I let you go? Give me your
Oh
Coppin story
my.
because you've been at Coppin long enough to see gyms built, things happen. Yeah, you know, you've lived there long enough to see these things go from something that some kids didn't have that every kid has an iPad now,
Yes.
right?
Oh my
Yes.
gosh. Almost 18 years I have been at Coppin, but ultimately what keeps me there, the students. The students are just amazing. I always say commencement is my true payday. They are wonderful, they're resilient, they are intelligent, and they come wanting to learn. And people who want to learn, you can't get any better in education. And then the Division of Information Technology, I work with such a group of talented, dedicated individuals. They inspire me just to continue to be better. And Dr. Jenkins, under his leadership, Coppin is thriving. We are truly a jewel of Baltimore City. And it's a great time to be there. It's a great time to elevate our university. And it's just a wonderful place to be. I truly love Coppin State University. And being there 18 years, that shows, because Just my dedication and my commitment to the university. So anybody, we invite you to come visit Coppin. It's a great place. The campus is beautiful. Come out and see us sometime.
And just
Stop
don't
by
go on
SCC.
that day when they're doing the Hall of Fame thing when everybody in the world's there and you can't park.
Yeah.
So, little homecoming
Can't find
thing.
a
That was
parking space.
crazy there a couple weeks ago. Coppin
Yes.
State, making it great. We appreciate their partnership as well as we're the longtime flagship. We did sports and we did basketball and volleyball and softball. We did all that stuff for a long, long time. I have enjoyed these intelligent, we call them wise conversations with folks trying to teach us stuff. AI boot camp ahead. I'm learning stuff around here. My thanks to Dr. Dion Kirby. Thanks for coming on. Keep it safe over there and enjoy the springtime. And maybe next
You
time we
too.
get together, it should be a crab cake, maybe down Fadley's or something, is what I'm thinking.
You know what? Let's do it. Love
That's what
it.
I'm talking about. All right. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Stay with us.